Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, like I say, please subscribe, tell a friend, let everyone you know how much you like the Whisk Ginge so we can keep this train a-moving. As far as my life goes, I'm filming season 2 of Dave on FXX and Hulu, which comes out next year. I'm so excited for it. So touring is all over the place. We're trying to figure out dates. It's a little hard. Go to AndrewSantino.com. That's also where you can find the link for the Patreon, patreon.com/WhiskeyGingerPodcast. It's where we got one-on-one Cheeto chats. I do Zooms with a high tier. You get discount codes. You get all sorts of stuff on there. Go check it out at patreon.com/WhiskeyGingerPodcast. And also, if you're looking to buy some merch, go to AndrewSantinoStore.com. You can see all the stuff there. The hats, the shirts, the rock glasses, which are my favorite. The rock glasses are very solid, very well made at AndrewSantinoStore.com. Is some good merch for the end of the year. I am excited about this episode. It's incredible. So, you know, I'm done talking. Whiskey Ginger is supported by Squarespace. Look, you guys, if you're trying to design a website for any reason, whether or not you're trying to sell a product, show off yourself, or something that you're up to, blog, publish, articles, or just scream into the void of the internet, which is what most of us are doing anyway, you can do it. When you use Squarespace, they are incredible. They have these beautiful templates that they've set up for you. And you can also manipulate them in your own way. It's optimized so you can get this incredible analytical research to find out your audience. So you can optimize, baby. It really is incredible to watch your stuff grow in real time, whether or not you're selling merchandise or honestly just want to watch traffic of people that are coming and going to your website, promote a business. Or announce something, you know, getting married, having a baby, getting a divorce, maybe. If you're doing that, dude, let everybody know. Either way, Squarespace is the best way to blog or publish a website of your choice. I used it for myself. It's extremely easy and I'm stupid, so you can do it. Go to squarespace.com/whiskey for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code whiskey to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com/whiskey, free trial, okay? And then use whiskey as the code, 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. It's worth it.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it.
Hey!
Once again today, it's Christina P.
Hey! I love you too. And
I love
you.
I'm
so glad you're here and you're queer.
I am.
And you're transitioning.
Dude, I made a joke on Instagram Live. You want to talk about troublesome? I made a joke on Instagram Live 3 days ago where I read an article that a friend sent me. It said, the same week that a mom of it's a husband and wife and they have two kids and the mom says, I'm lesbian now, so I want to get a divorce. I want to be with women.
Sure.
The dad says, this is incredible. I'm trans and I'm going to transition.
What?
So we can stay together. And they did.
No.
Swear to God, there was an article about it.
That sounds like a new sitcom.
Yes.
Right.
CBS.
That would do so well. That would get picked up immediately.
2.5 moms. But I literally was like, after he sent that to me, I was like, the world is, and this is not me being negative about it. I'm not being like, fuck. I'm just saying the world is getting so sexually interesting that I find that now in the future, straight people are going to be so like yucky, boring. Like you're so boring.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was saying on this Instagram Live, I go, I was coming out to my fans as straight. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And honestly, like, I know it's not fun. I know, I'm not going to have, you know, a month in the Poconos where I blow some guy named Brett and we fall in love on a yacht. Like,
but you do like to talk about it.
I do.
You, yeah.
I do. I joke about it all the time. I tease it all the time.
Yeah.
But a couple of fans got like mad at it, that they were like, oh, you're mocking the gay community. I was like, no, dude, this is me saying it's boring now to be straight. It's so bland.
It's so
like,
boring. Let me show you boring. This. Hold on. Let me show you this thing I found. Where is this?
And by the way, that is a real article about a real family where, and now they're still together. Now the guy transitioned and now they're still together. So it's like,
that's amazing.
Either he just didn't want the marriage to end. Like, what if he was like, I'm not going to let this marriage go.
But do you think that's really, because then so it's just anatomy that kept them apart. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, I imagine. Because she said she wants to be with women. And he was like, well, I'm going to transition.
And he fully did the whole meow and everything.
Meow is gone. Yeah.
And then they're like, bitch, and you're the ideal now.
And then it's perfect.
That is wild.
That's how it is.
It's wild. And then the hormones, I guess, make you more of a woman. Or
totally.
A
man. Yeah. So if my wife wants to leave me, I'm just going to transition into the man she leaves me for. I'm just going to become him.
Who is that? Who do you think?
Who do I think she would leave me for, honestly?
Yeah. Do you guys discuss that?
Like, yo, you know what's, this is funny. 2 nights ago we said, cause I said, man, I had this crazy sex dream, and I had a sex dream about somebody who I just recently have, met online. Like, I'm a fan of this person. I think she's really funny. We don't know each other. And she came into a sex dream of mine, and I was like, whoa, so weird, because I don't know if I'm attracted to her in the real world.
But hold on. You told your wife that you had a sex dream about another woman?
Yeah.
That's a good marriage.
You guys yeah, well, because forever. She has sex dreams.
Yeah.
And the reason I did that to her, this is why, to answer your question, she has a lot of sex dreams, and it's never me. And she's never like, it's never a guy. Like, that's, it's never like Mike from the corner store. Right. She's like, it's faceless, but it's always a scenario. So she can see where they are, but she doesn't know who the man is.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
But it's not me.
It's not you.
Definitely not me. Did you watch that Social Dilemma movie?
Yes.
And the most fucked up thing that like actually made me nauseous and we turned it off was the future idea of Instagram advertising that literally changes its verbiage to fit you.
That's
makes me nauseous. Like the idea that they go, like the other day I said to my wife, because the winds were coming. I was like, oh, dude, it's going to get windy. I'm sure this tree above our house, it always fucking, something cracks. I'm like ready for it to ruin my house. And I was like, plus it fucking broke our gutter. And that's all I said. It broke our fucking gutter last time.
I love you.
What do you think popped up?
I just like you
What do you think popped up on my phone?
Like rain, gutter.
Gutter protector. Repair. Gutter protector. I'm not kidding.
That's scary.
And then, and that's fine. I get it. I know why it does that. But then my fear is that it goes, Andrew, remember when the wind broke your gutter last fall? That's where I'm going to start losing my shit.
Yeah.
When it knows you're, because it's doing it.
I know.
It's happened. Like, it's, what's already the weirdest ad you've gotten on Instagram or Twitter from talking?
So here, oh, from talking.
Well, you know how like if you mention something or you've searched it once, but like you keep seeing it slowly appear. Have you never had that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I got into like wigs. So I had different phases of this year, of this quarantine.
Yeah.
Like it starts with baking and then like overeating and then over drinking and then smoking too much pot.
Yep.
And then I got into a heavy wig phase. I don't even wear them, like maybe sexually with Tom occasionally.
Sure.
And yeah.
He should wear a wig too when you guys have sex. Tom should wear a wig.
Oh my God. He would be the ugliest woman who bleeds. He would be the ugliest.
He really would.
I think he would be the ugliest man.
If he were like man who looks like a woman,
he's so
he's such a masculine guy.
Yeah,
he has no feminine features whatsoever.
I would feel so bad for those people who are just so masculine and they want to transition so much.
Now he has nothing in him that, I mean, he would have to take estrogen, right? Like he'd have to like really juice it up.
So much estrogen.
Because there's nothing in him that's like, doesn't he have one piece? There's got to be like, do you have soft feet? He's got to have something.
No. Okay. Yeah, there's one portion of him that's hairless, and it's just like here, like the side of the ribs. Everything else is just covered.
Is that from you hugging him?
No, just not natural.
Just natural, no hair here?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. I cut you off. What's the weird thing?
The wigs. The wigs. Ads. And like, do you want a pink wig? Do you want, I was like, yo, this is very specific.
Totally.
So scary. And what if they're like, what if porn gets that way too? And they're like, oh, Andrew's back. Notice last time you were into horny co-eds.
Can I tell you? You're going to hate this. It has done that to me.
No.
I swear to God. On Pornhub, you know, they do like you previously watched or something that you like. They do what Netflix, they just stole Netflix's algorithm. And they were like, viewers also liked. It put me in this subcategory.
All these other guys jade their bees. So much cum has happened on this clip, Andrew.
You seem like a blacks on blondes kind of guy. And I'm like, Pornhub, you know me. They do that. Pornhub does start to like feature, but I'm off no porn for me. I'm not having had porn in 2 months.
What happened?
Just trying to, you know, put it in her instead of on my chest. You know what I mean? So I vowed to myself, I said, no more porn for 2 months. I'm just going to get away from it. Because it's working.
But I mean, like, how does that feel to be such a purist about sex?
Honestly, it's because I've had porn in my life for, you know, whatever, 20, 30 years or whatever. And so now it feels kind of good, but I miss it. I miss it.
Of course.
I'm finding myself pornoizing other things. Mm. A swimsuit magazine came in the mail, and before I threw it away, I pornoized the shit out of it. Like, as I was thumbing through it. Because, like, those things, the junk mail, you're like, it goes right in the recycling. It's like, yeah. the mail person's like, here, and you're like, come on, dude, you just put it in the recycling.
I know.
What's the difference? And it was a swimsuit catalog or whatever, like, on sale, because they're going, like, buy them in the winter for next season. And I'm thumbing through it. And I just started pornoizing the idea of like all these women in there. I was like thinking about little scenarios, you know, what beat she's at, and
well, that's
who's
what,
the scuba guy that's with
what
her.
You had to do in the 90s, right?
Or... Yeah, Victoria's Secret. I used to steal Victoria's Secrets and jerk off to those.
Now, I heard Victoria's Secret is no longer, right?
Seriously?
Ending?
Why? Because of what happened?
I think that they can't keep up with, like, I think they just didn't change with the times, and like, I think they're just obsolete now.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't know.
I get that.
Their shit kind of sucks.
Yeah, it sounds
talk.
True. To me, it's kind of like, why do you need it?
Well, I mean, it's pretty, but it's not well made. Like, my big old tits won't fit into any of their stuff.
That's your store. You should open a store called My Big Old Tits.
I would open a mom lingerie store that's like, I want my panties full flavored cotton high above the baby bump.
Yeah,
like,
way up.
That never goes away.
Right?
Yeah.
Way up.
Yes, it would be like that.
Cotton. Wait a minute. So
you're always a little fat.
Is there an age when women stop wearing Victoria's Secret, or no? Is that not?
Yeah, it's called when you become like a woman.
When you become a woman.
Like in your 20s, when you're learning to have sex and your boyfriend's in college and you're like, guys like that. So you'll go and like buy all that crap because I think you're learning to be a lady. And then you get married and you're like, oh, my husband doesn't even notice if I put on.
Right.
What's the point?
Yeah.
He really doesn't, because I'll buy nice
Tom doesn't
now.
Even like remote. It just like goes right through
well,
him.
Well, he's just like, okay, cool. Take it off. Like, he's a dope.
I agree, though. I'm the same way.
See?
I'm sorry. Well, because, and then the trickery, if she's like, you don't like it? Like, don't you like it? I'm like, no, I love it.
Don't care.
But I want to, I like it when it's naked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard to just be like, it's like, it's way hotter when it's naked. I'm sorry. I think the hotness of lingerie was probably built exclusively for hookers and affairs. I think hookers and affairs, because it's like, this is what you don't usually get.
Is that what it is? Just the
novelty? I imagine, because like a married couple, how often could you have the right timing enough to get the lingerie ready for the thing when you have lives that exist?
That's true. Because most married, I would argue that that's correct. That married people, it's such an artifice that you don't have time for, especially when you have kids. You're like, what? Put on the, okay.
Yeah, put it on. No, it's just, come on, let's go. I just feel like I think that is like this, it's the world that people envision. It's kind of like how everyone thinks like, you know, oh yeah, and that comes along with like the whatever you want in sex. Like, that's my favorite thing about like, oh, you can do anything once you get with someone that you guys commit to each other. It's like, No, there's a cutoff for everyone that's like, no, we don't do that. We're not going to do that. Or I'm not going to like, I don't want that. Or I'm done with that. Do you find that like stuff that you guys did when you were first dating, you don't do anymore?
No, here's the thing is that we're pretty good
about
in terms
changing
of
the times.
Keeping things in the repertoire. There's things we did as a joke early on that you're like, nobody really, you know, like 69, like Tom has a bit about that.
Yeah.
And his act, because it's like, who really is 69ing every night? Or like, this is my jam.
23-year-olds probably are. Like 23, 24, like young 20s are probably just, because they're still skinny and light enough.
Right. That's the thing. When you're married, you're like, well, we're 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah, I don't want you on me. So heavy.
It's so
I don't even get on top of my, now we go side by side. We just,
oh, yeah.
We just snake slither through.
That's the walrus. Like, yeah, yeah. You can see those nature documentaries when walruses just and they kill their offspring to get to the other one.
Right, just to smash next to it. That's what we do. We walrus sideways and just go for it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I think because I think the things that changed was like we pretended like we, like the role play thing, I think is always fun. You can't, that's because you can have endless possibilities, but there's role play things that I now know she hated, but was too nice to say no to.
She just went along.
Yeah, because she was like, if you like it, I guess it's harmless.
What's the one she hated the most?
I pretended that she was her mother, and it was that.
That's so gnarly. Better than her dad, I guess. Yeah.
Well, no, that's now. That's what we switched to. No, I think it was like, I think the early role play stuff was like, that I like was, that we
that's
are.
That's a great joke. You got to write the mom, that down. I know.
The stuff that we don't that's do really now funny. Is mostly like, she hates porno scenarios because she thinks they're cheap.
Sure.
Like they're always hacky, but like when guys do kind of like them when you're young, especially that you're like, ooh, like we're not supposed to be hooking up. You know, it's like this like naughty thing or whatever. Like, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That idea. You begin to realize she's like, make it anything else.
Make it anything. See, my problem with role playing, and I've never done it because maybe it's because you're an actor and you're comfortable acting.
Yeah, but she's not an actor. She doesn't have anything to do with the business.
I can't pretend.
Yeah.
I can't get into character.
Well, do you have, you have to get wardrobe. That's the thing. You have to change into the wardrobe.
Oh.
Yeah, like I wear, like if I'm
okay.
I'll pretend like I'm a mechanic sometimes. I'll come home with like a wrench in my hand and I'll have grease all over me, you know? And I'll get in there and I'll be like, fix the car. You want me to take off or you want me to stick around?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I'd be like,
no, the role playing now has become, or now it's more like, now I guess this is not really role playing, but it's like situation playing. It's like, where can we have sex that we usually don't or we never do, you know? You know what was really hot one time? We pulled over at Will Rogers Park on the way home from LAX when she picked me up, and we boned in the park, and that was awesome.
That's a nice park. I take my children there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like 2 p.m.
Gross.
So I was pushing a stroller. We're like, we're living our best life.
So you guys are, you've pulled the goalie. Are you talking
gone.
About this?
Yeah, the goalie's gone.
It's out there.
Pulled the goalie.
I really enjoyed that type of sweet, sweet marital love making, because don't you feel like it's fulfilling the prophecy?
For sure.
Like, this is why.
I'm doing what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, wanted me to do.
Right, like, you grew up Catholic, yeah?
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, so doesn't this feel like I'm finally doing it the way I'm supposed to be?
Yeah, like, well, but also, my grandmother, I grew up with so much church in my around me, because my mom's one of 10 kids and a big Irish Catholic family. And it was like kind of always in the back of your head. Like you felt bad about literally everything. And my grandmother like loathed the fact that any of the young kids were, the grandkids were living with somebody before marriage. That was like a huge, and she would make you feel bad about it. She was like, it's just not something you should be doing. And you're like, we're fucking when we didn't live together. Like, what's the difference?
Right.
In their mind, a cohabitation is like, you're breaking the rules.
Yeah.
You're like, but people would fucking just go back to their own apartment. This is just less travel time.
I know. What's the
I'm saving gas,
you're
grandma.
You're saving money. Yeah. What's the diff? It's like pornography. Well, pornography is prostitution with a camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well, they just have this idea that like, they were told once and they bought it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
It's almost how I feel about politics without getting into that bullshit, but it's almost like people are told once something and then they're just they're like stuck. That's why I don't believe in either party. I fucking loathe Democrats and I hate Republicans.
I agree.
I think it's a trash idea to associate with one side.
I think so too. I don't think anything is that cut and dry.
What else in your life is?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. You wouldn't do that with anything. Like, if your kid says to you,
except for dogs versus cats, I'm firmly dog.
But that's just human. Like, that's human. That's if you're smart.
Fuck,
I feel like
a
that's
cat.
If you're, yeah. And so many of my fans get mad at me when I say that because I have a dog and I just
if I hit on a divisive issue,
not
on
for me.
Show?
I love dogs, but I always say that, and people are like, you know, you have some fans that are cat people. I'm like, okay, fucking, I just don't like them. because they're rude. They walk around like you owe them money. It's a diminutive animal. It's not a nice. People go, well, you don't know. Well, I do know.
I do. I've had cats.
Yes.
They don't love you.
No, they don't.
They don't care about you. The way dogs do.
They like that you love them. Yes. Right. That's what a cat is. I like that you love me. You know, but a dog is. I love you. I don't know really anything.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you love me, but even if you don't, I still love you anyway.
Yes.
That's what a dog is.
Yeah, and they don't torture you. They don't, well, they can't destroy your property and stuff.
But honestly, who gives a fuck?
I know, they're
so
cute.
First time my dog fucked up a chair, I'm a weirdo. I'm an OCD clean, neat freak weirdo. Like my house, I just don't like messy shit.
I wish I were like you.
Well, it's a detriment. It's because my dad was just a psycho and he was an army kid, so it's like embedded into us to be like, why are the shoes there? Do they go there? I'm like, I guess they don't. Like,
I love it. How much rage do you think you have inside of you?
An awful lot.
Yeah.
An awful lot. Yeah. And it comes out once in a great while. And who gets the brunt of it? My wife.
Yeah. Lucky.
It's funny because it just that militantness of everything. I thought, I guess I should say that the happiness that I've found is I've let a lot of stuff go, right? Like when the dog ruined a really nice chair, I'd bought her like a really nice chair that she loved and the dog fucked it up. And I just didn't give, I felt like I should have cared.
Did you kick the shit out of that fucking dog?
Well, yeah. It was an expensive chair. It was H.G. Buttercup is a nice chair.
My dad would have. Our dads may have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's it. Dog's gone. It's an outside dog now.
My dad would go on vacation and leave our dog in the backyard.
Yeah, that happened. That was a totally normal thing to do.
And no indoor bath.
Nope.
Hose. And it drank pool water.
Yes.
And like, that was it.
That's a normal thing. Back in the day, somebody said, I don't know who said this to me. Somebody said, what kind of dog did you get? And then we had looked up the DNA. You know, we did like the
23
at the vet.
Yeah,
at the vet.
Dogs,
they can test it. And it was like Cocker Spaniel, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And I don't know who said it to me. Maybe it was my dad, but someone was like, wow, remember when dogs used to just be dogs? Yeah. That is true. When I was a kid, nobody was like,
no one gave a shit.
What crossbreed is it? They were like, oh, you got a dog? What is it? And they're like, yeah, it's a dog. Look at the dog we got. It was just a dog. I know. And my wife had outdoor animals. When they grew up in Colorado, all the animals, dogs and cats, lived outside.
Yeah, we had outdoor cats too. Yeah, my dad would just open the gate and my dog would walk itself. And this is in LA. This is the suburbs.
Go.
Yeah. See you later. Yeah. No leash.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like maybe that's.
It's fine.
It's probably frowned on nowadays, but there's got to be people that do it. They just don't talk about it.
Of course. Of course.
Well, farm, especially people that live out in the middle of nowhere.
Correct. In rural. Rural areas.
Yeah.
You betcha that dog is.
Well, where were you as a kid? What part of your
San
valley,
Fernando
right?
San Fernando Valley. So. Canoga Park,
hell
Woodland
yeah.
Hills.
Hell yeah.
Encino, Tarzana, you know what I'm saying?
Honestly, the Valley had this weird connotation as a kid, and now I live in the Valley, and I had heard what the Valley was. But as a Chicago kid, in my mind, this is what's weird about the perception of California, I thought the Valley was like a really, really expensive. I thought it was more expensive than Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because as a kid, when you hear like Valley Girls,
sure,
you think that's rich, wealthy. It's been misconstrued, I guess, through television and film that you're like, oh, she talks like a Valley Girl. And I'm like, whoa, that must be like where all the celebrities, the famous people live.
Right, that's like the Beverly Hills. Yeah, that's interesting because it's the complete opposite. It's where most working class, there are some celebrities.
Yeah.
But my dad was a forklift mechanic and we had a pretty middle class
normal
existence.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. When I go through Burbank, I always say to my wife, it gives me this weird, I have a very nostalgic, I'm very keen with nostalgia for some reason. It like does something to me. I don't know
too.
What it is, but it shocks my insides. And I was running through Burbank and it reminded me of my childhood in Chicago. I was like, this feels exactly like middle class, working class Chicago. It feels exactly the same. Mm. Like very kind of humble homes, nothing huge, nothing too small. But like you can tell that the mother and the father both work for sure. And there's one or two kids and people kind of know each other in the neighborhood. And, you know, it just has that vibe to me. And when I learned what the Valley was, as soon as we moved from the other side of the hill, I was like, oh, this feels more like home for some reason. So I love it up here.
Oh, shit.
I do.
Okay, well then.
Like I love here more than I love living in West Hollywood.
That's a different demo. Yeah. So every section of LA is just an entirely different demographic. Yeah. You just have to find your tribe kind of.
Yeah.
And then you're happy. You know, if you're a hipster, you're going to go Silver Lake, Echo Park.
Yeah.
Right.
And they don't like me over there.
No, you age out. I think at a certain age, you got to leave.
You think so? What is the number for Silver Lake? But what if you just open up a burgering yoga business? Then
right,
what do you do?
Right. Right.
And you're 48.
That's West Side. You're looking Santa Monica. You're right. Looking Palisades, Venice.
Right, right. What if you're... Yeah. Okay, here you go. I'll give you a scenario.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Mandy. Mm-hmm. I just got divorced. Mm. I found out my husband left me for a girl who's in his improv class. He's improv 101. Sure. And we're in our mid-40s.
Sure.
He's having a crisis because he got fired from his job as an ad sales rep. And now I have no money... not really a lot of discernible skills. I was working as an admin.
Okay.
You know, and now I decided I wanted to get into health and nature.
Okay.
So I'm opening up a health clothing and food store. We make smoothies and we sell shirts made of hemp and hope. Great. So where do I go?
Okay. Mandy, I have the perfect neighborhood for you. Redondo Beach.
Oh.
Have you been to Redondo Beach?
I have not.
So it sounds to me like you've had enough of LA vibes.
Big time.
You got to go beach vibes when you're looking holistic.
Right.
You're doing yoga. You're doing the smoothies.
Right.
Also, for divorcees, Redondo's a hidden gem. If you go to...
you're like the greatest real estate agent. Redondo's a hidden gem.
You got to go to their village there. There's this village.
A little baby village?
A little village. And there's a place right there on the water where all the divorcees get together and they have brunch. I promise you, it's where you're going to find your next husband, Mandy.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's all doctors, lawyers, well-to-dos.
Well, I'm headed down there.
Redondo.
Here's what happens to Mandy, though. Yeah. Takes your advice. Uh-oh. Moves down to Redondo.
Okay.
Meets a doctor.
Great.
Falls in love.
Great.
He kills her.
No, why? Why?
Because
that's what they do?
That's what they do. Doctors are murderers.
I think you and Tom have an extremely dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And do you run these murder fantasies by your wife? Do you watch murder things in front of her a lot?
She watches way more murder stuff than I do. She likes true crime.
I hate true crime.
She likes true crime like many women do. And it's, I don't know why. Why? Why do you hate it?
Because it can happen.
See, that's why I don't like it.
It can fucking happen.
You think like us.
Yeah.
You do. I don't like that because I know that's real.
Yeah.
She doesn't like fictionalized murder, right? She doesn't like fake murder shows or what. Okay. She likes, if it happened, I want to hear all about it. And that makes me sick.
I don't want to know any of it.
None of it?
You'll
never indulge in any of that stuff?
Nope. It doesn't ring my bell.
Does Tom love it?
Loves. I'm talking creep. Every night I fall asleep and it's like the murder documentary, the serial killer, the guy. And that's you?
I'll watch it sometimes. It's interesting. I don't hate it, but she loves it. But it makes me think... I've said to her a few times, if you do kill me, don't do like a hurt. Don't make it hurt. Do you know what I mean? I want to be, she's like, no, I would slowly poison you.
That's what I would do.
And we laugh, but I love that.
Yeah.
Because I think if your wife doesn't like you, she would hurt you when she killed you. Because right. It's like payback.
Right.
But if she just wants you gone, just a little sprinkle of something in your coffee.
Every day. I would do the arsenic.
That's what it is. Right. Right. Slowly, just but because they can't trace
a
it.
A slow ride.
I would rather go out like that.
Yeah.
Like I asked Bobby this the other day on our show. Would you rather die in your sleep or die while you're conscious and awake?
Oh, sleep.
See, he said sleep. You don't want to know what happened?
No, I just want to die, fade away. Can I tell you the most normal?
But what if you're having like a great night's sleep and then...
Oh.
Or I'm sorry, what if you're having a nightmare and then you die during your nightmare?
Don't care.
Yeah, but how will you know you're dead? That's what I said to him.
Well, you won't know when you're... Will you know when you're dying awake?
Yeah.
And then you'll get to like say goodbye to people.
That's how I feel. I feel like when you die when you're awake, you go, oh, I'm dying. And then you can see all the shit that, you know what I mean?
I don't know if I want to go through that. But then, okay, what if you're dying, but mm-hmm. you're somewhere shitty when it happens? Like, let's say you just get hit crossing the street here in the valley and like some smelly paramedic or some smelly person hobo picks you up and then that's the last image you see. It's not your loving wife.
It's this
dog.
Man's urine soaked pants. Yeah. Carrying me through the stoplight.
Yeah, and you're like, this is my last moment with just like some stranger.
I think about that a lot though. I do think about where's I've said it out loud, I don't want to die here. Like, I've thought that, like, fuck, if I died here, this would be the worst. Like, I have this joke that I used to tell about not wanting to die naked. Like, I don't want to die, like, while I'm changing or something. I don't want to die where, like, my clothes are off, because it gives me, like, you know when people slip in the shower or the tub? That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Biggest fear. Like, for the rest of my life, I can't have tubs with high. I can't get into showers with high. Because if you die and you're naked and the shower's running on your naked dead body, and the paramedics walk in, they see your gross little naked penis and your stupid face, and your hair is all wet and sideways, and
you look
so sad.
You release your
bowels.
Shit. So, like,
I guess the shower's a good place for that. If you're gonna poop when you die, shower's nice.
It's a great place to die.
For the paramedics, it's easier.
So does that mean if I die while sleeping next to Tom, he'll smell my shit?
That's how I'll know you died.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It is. And also, they should make mattresses ready for that. I feel like there should be a cover. Just a shit cover in case. Just in case.
Would you want to know? If I could tell you the date that you're going to die, would you want to
know? Yep. Yeah. I don't believe in that whole, like, when people always say, this idea, like, live every day like it's your last. It's like, well, I hope it's not. So I'd rather somebody go March 18th, 2070.
That's not a bad run. It's a really good run.
Fuck, did I just jinx myself?
50 years from now?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'd be 87.
That's good.
Shit, I don't want to die anymore.
I know.
Did I just do that?
I don't want to live that long
either. How long do you... Why do people say that too? My mom jokes around a lot about...
How old is she?
14, 15? She's young. She's in her 60s. But she always says... She always goes, I don't... You know, how much longer... You know,
but don't you, some days I do feel that way where I'm just like, how much more of this shit can I do?
Yeah,
like,
I guess there's times. How many more sandwiches?
You know,
how many more sandwiches am I going to eat?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, aside from my children and my husband, who I love and adore and cherish.
Children more than husband,
yeah,
for sure.
Obviously.
Right.
There's nothing else I'm going to be like super bummed about, you know, leaving.
Yeah.
Just my kids.
Yeah,
and my
family.
And my dog.
Okay, it's adding up now.
I know. Okay, right. And pizza. No. I don't know. Okay. Oh, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could murder somebody and not get caught.
Bobby Lee.
Really?
Easily. I've said it to his face. I want to kill him.
Yeah.
No. If I could murder someone and not get caught, who would it be?
Well, not who would it be. Would you?
Oh, yeah. I was going down who I would.
You're already two steps ahead.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's so many people I've come in contact with that I can murder. If I could never get caught for murder.
You're so angry inside.
Well, there's people that deserve to go away.
There are people that deserve to die. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think
there's
everybody.
Some people. I mean, would you never do it?
If it's someone who's a real POS.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You'd do it and get
like
away
if
with
someone
it.
Could, if I could kill Hitler or Stalin.
What do those guys do?
It's bad stuff.
Is it really?
It's bad stuff.
Hitler is the guy that made BMWs? Is that?
He was responsible. That's actually true.
I know. Isn't that really funny to think, like, whenever I see, it's funny to think how, like, popular Mercedes and BMWs are. And you're like, but we hate Nazis. But the company that made cars for Nazis, we're cool with. Like, we're totally okay with it for some reason.
It's the upside down now.
Yeah.
I hate sounding like an oldie.
Yeah.
But I studied philosophy in college. And at the very end of my philosophy education, we read postmodern philosophy.
Sure.
And at the time in the 90s, they were like, this shit's wild. It's kind of silly. It's fun. It's interesting. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And now that way of thinking is becoming the primary way of thinking amongst younger people. And that's what I was raised as, the upside down. Like, that's lunacy.
Right.
And now lunacy's coming up as the primary way of being.
Well, do you think also because your dad was born where?
Hungary.
In Hungary, right?
Both my parents. Hungary. Look it up, bros. and that's the thing, too, is that people are they're throwing around communism. And I see it on TikTok. I'm on TikTok, as you know. I love to curate.
I love seeing what you curate from TikTok.
Thank you.
Your feed is better than TikTok's feed for me.
Well, it's because I carefully groom my algorithm. I pay a lot of attention to what.
Well,
I
it
like.
Says you know how it says for you.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if I could do Christina P's for me.
Oh, I'd love that.
Like, wouldn't that be cool if they go like...
Oh, right. Like a playlist.
Yes.
Like a
you know on Spotify, you can create playlists and be like, yo, you can listen to this guy's playlist every week. You can download somebody's playlist.
That'd be so great.
I want your for you.
You know what I could do? Maybe I could save them in a folder and then have you look or something.
Yeah, but I mean, we should reach out to fucking TikTok and be like, they should feature...
It's a great idea.
They should feature Christina P's For You this week.
Andrew Santino's For You.
Yeah, favorite, mine's so. The same. Mine's just like an old guy getting hurt over and over. It's just old guys getting hurt.
But hold on. But let me finish this thought because it's so important for people listening who are young who'd maybe not remember. So you and I grew up, what year are you born?
83.
Okay, I'm 76. But we grew up with the terror of the Red Scare.
The freak out. The freak out of you're going to, it's coming and you're going to die.
You're going to die. The Soviet Union was our big enemy. Now they call it Russia. But they were communists and they took over a lot of Europe. They annexed Central and Eastern Europe.
Yep.
The Iron Curtain. They
USSR.
And they forbade the practice of religion, freedom of speech.
Yep.
They took wealth. They took your money. Mm-hmm. They would take wealthy people's homes and move in multiple families. It's fucking real. And
crazy.
Now I hear this shit that youngsters are reading Marx and Lenin. And this is cool. Like, bros, it ain't cool.
Yeah, it's insane to think that they think that's okay. It's a really weird. Well, here's how I try to balance it. I know my dad, how he reacted to how I listened to hip hop, right? Like, I remember specifically.
Right.
And I remember thinking, he doesn't get it. And when I'm his age, I should be conscious of what I don't get of the youth below me.
100%.
So I do. So I am, as much as I can. But there's things where I go, you just don't know how detrimental this could be, right? Like, hip hop wasn't really going to do anything. It wasn't going to hurt anybody.
Well, neither was Elvis Presley or the Beatles.
Right.
But there was hysteria over that.
Right.
Creating a
so it's like
godless...
this balance of trying to say to people younger than me when I do have conversations with family members or people's, you know, younger people who have younger kids, that it's like, it's not that older people are always trying to go, you're wrong. It's that they're trying to go, I've seen something similar to this and I'm telling you how this could be bad.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is. But for the most part, I'm open minded. I just don't like the idea of like losing control.
I don't like the idea of limiting freedoms.
That's what I mean, of sacrificing freedom. Like, it's like, go, just give it all away. That scares the shit out of me.
And it seems that that's what is being advocated.
Totally.
Now. And that's what's terrifying. I don't give a fuck of what people do. If they want to have men having periods,
great. I couldn't care less.
Don't care.
Okay, it's like the last thing I could. It's like we talked about. If you like a restaurant, eat at it. If you don't go back. It's like, well, I don't give a fuck what anybody does with their time. It's not my life.
Right.
But when it gets to a point when we all are willing to sacrifice the things that make us who we are, like being able to say whatever you want.
Hold on, your restaurant analogy. We didn't say that on mic, but your
restaurant
analogy
was,
you said, there's a Italian restaurant down the street. We ate there. We don't like it.
Can't stand it.
Just don't go back.
Never gone back.
But today's rhetoric is, you know, I don't like that restaurant because it is morally reprehensible. They are transphobic. Therefore, we're burning it to the
ground.
Burn
it to the ground. Yeah.
Versus, you know what? I don't like this restaurant. I don't like what they stand for. I'm not going to go there.
Right.
I'm going to tell my friends too. This place sucks.
There's power in action, but it just depends on what the action is, right? Like,
remember the
couple that wouldn't sell a gay couple a cake, a wedding cake?
Right.
And there's this big thing that's like, well, if you start there, what's the difference of that place saying we don't sell it for black people? Or, you know what I mean? It's like saying this idea that you have the right to refuse service, but if you're refusing because of something like sexuality or like race, then you're getting into this. I understand that. But it's a war you almost can't win with ignorant people. So instead, you have to just fight them with like intelligence and a clever approach. Like, it should be the goal of a community or a people or society to go, we're going to open up so many pro-gay cake places.
Right.
And they're going to fucking crush that business.
Right.
And it's going to bury them. Because saying you're going to shut that business down and like protesting it, I understand why that feels good. But like, you almost have to be just smart. You just have to be smarter.
Well, I think the danger of this business doesn't uphold the values that I hold, therefore they should disappear. So that's
right.
Dangerous because you go, well, then who decides what the moral values of the system are?
Yeah, who's the one that says that?
Who's this morality?
Right.
And they can decide that if you give them that much power, it's an infinite regress of, well, today, anybody, you know what? I don't like the fucking color of your hair.
Oh, me neither.
Anybody who says ill things of whatever, hair color people,
those you're
people
you're out. Gone. Yeah.
And that's what happened in communism.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So it's very, very, very
I mean, didn't we learn anything from Wizard of Oz? Didn't we learn anything about the man behind the curtain was just a little scared, sad man, right?
No.
This powerful puppeteer of people's emotions and their futures, and then you realize that it's just a sad little scared man just like everybody else. I think the mistake that I have found as I've gotten older is everyone's just a big kid pretending to be an adult.
Yes.
We like this idea of like growing up doesn't exist. It doesn't.
No, when it's kind of.
I think we're
I think
all
more
kids.
Responsibility.
Yes.
You get more and more.
Yes,
and you're like,
but
oh
you
my
also
God.
Pretend to be. I think we all want to pretend to be adults. Like you, I think we all think we know, but we're all kind of just trying to figure it out. And then we'll get old enough in your 70s and 80s, and you'll go, I figured it out, but it's too. I'm over. It's. I'm done. Yeah, I'm dead. That's what I think. It's over.
Oh,
my grandmother's 90.
Yeah.
And she's been scared because of the pandy.
Yeah. The pandy. I like
pandy,
that.
Pandy, baby.
Tom Papa calls it the quar.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a Papa thing. We say pandy over here. We say pandy.
I like the pandy.
Me and Bobby call it pandy. Well, because it's cute. It's like, oh, the pandy. What happened during the pandy? But my grandmother was scared, not because of getting sick. She was scared of losing freedom. It was wild.
Mm.
You know, like her perspective was very interesting. Like, because I was like, oh, Nana, are you afraid of, you know, like people around you and stuff like that? And like, scary, right? Because she lives at home. She doesn't live in a home or anything. She lives in her house. And she's like, no, honey, it's about not being able to live anymore. And I was like, oh, that's what a crazy perspective she has, you know? Because she's lived through.
She's seen it.
She's seen all of it.
She's seen the cycles of history. And now we're just going back into a conservative era again, where we're going to regulate people's language, we're going to regulate ideas,
right?
We're going to regulate how you're thinking. You're not thinking the way we want you to. We're going to cancel you. You're
Isn't
out.
That weird to think though that that's like a more conservative approach, but it's ironically led by a liberal
Is
agenda?
It, isn't that? And it's and here's the thing. I think a lot of it does have good intention.
Sure,
there's so many good intentions.
Yeah,
and. Wokeism, it's good. The intent is good. However, how do you execute these ideas? Let's
right.
be really cautious.
Right. Well, I said this to Brian Moses, called me today. We were talking on the phone. And he was black. He's still black. He was black then.
Okay.
And I only allowed
Does he
one.
Identify?
Well, no, he's full black.
Okay.
And I only take one phone call from one black guy a day because that's my limit. I can't do more than one. But we were talking about, he was complaining about a show that he's working on right now and like the notes that are being given and whatever. And I said, you know what would be great to come from Hollywood pretending like they really want to involve more more non-white people, because they say they do. And I'm like, oh, if you really do, fire all these billionaire white guys who run studios, who've had jobs forever that make millions of dollars. Like, I see all these guys. I know these guys. And they go from one place to one place to one place. Yeah. And you're like, okay, if you really do care, don't just give black people shows then. Fire the guys, fire all these guys that are making $9 million a year. They get to jump around. I think it's just, we know it's phony. We know Tampax doesn't really mean it.
Doesn't care.
So it's like, don't, I'd rather you not lie. I'd rather Tampax go, hey, we don't really care about supporting any of these things. We're trying to sell tampons. You want to buy tampons? We make good ones.
I know.
I would respect it. All right.
I resent it. So I go to like a little independent coffee place near
yeah.
my, and I'm pro Black Lives Matter. I agree yeah. with it. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
However, why does my coffee company that I go to have to announce that it in fact is, like, I don't want to know the politics of this coffee
yeah.
place.
Right.
And
just tell me that you will give coffee to everybody.
I don't care.
It should be a sign. It's just, we serve coffee to people.
Right. Right. Don't fucking care.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Fellas, listen up. Erectile dysfunction is embarrassing for some people, but guess what? It doesn't have to be anymore. Get over it, right? It's the 21st century. We got science. We got medication. We can fix all those problems. You're like, I don't want to leave my house or go to a doctor's office with other guys that can't get it up. Big deal, dude. So there's less fuel in the tank. The rocket's not firing like it used to. The sergeant doesn't stand up as early in the morning as he used to, okay? You can take care of it with Roman. Roman is incredible. They give you a free online evaluation and care for the ED, all right? From the comfort and privacy of your house. You don't got to leave. That's the best part. The healthcare professional, a professional, will work with you online to find your best treatment plan. If they think medication is necessary, Roman's going to ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. It's straightforward. It's simple. It's discreet. Go to GetRoman.com/whiskey. Complete an online visit. All right? They'll tell you what to do. It's very, very easy. You don't have to feel bad anymore. You don't have to feel uncomfortable and uneasy about it. All right? Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about. It's not that big of a deal. Roman is fixing all of these problems. Trust. Trust science and doctors. Okay? Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/whiskey to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. Come on, that's GetRoman.com/whiskey for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/whiskey. Mirror, mirror on the wall, what's the best way to trim your balls? Manscaped, of course. Manscaped, I've been plugging. I love this stuff. I always talk about it to you guys. It's very simple. It's very easy. If you don't want to nick your nuts, you use the Manscaped lawnmower, correct? Correct. Now, they got even better products out. It's pretty incredible, man. The ear, hair, and nose hair trimmer is phenomenal. It is the performance package, combines all sorts of great products for you, and this is now included. The Weed Whacker, the ear, nose, and hair trimmer. It's waterproof, uses 9,000 RPM, vroom, vroom. Dual blade system, it's not going to pull on your nose or ear hair. Everybody thinks nose and ear hair is disgusting. It's gross. It's weird. You don't want to look like that creepy old guy at the bus stop eating saltine crackers who has a nose hair that connects to his mustache. Come on, dude. Take care of it. The bundle includes the lawnmower, which I love. That 3.0. It's the best trimmer I've ever used in my entire life to clean up the basement. They also got the Crop Reviver. They got the Crop Reserver and the Ball Deodorant. Make you smell nice. And they got that Shed Travel Bag, which I use. Some people call it a DOP kit. I don't. I say the Shed Travel Bag. It sounds better than DOP kit. You're also going to receive a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking and lawn mowing clean and enjoyable. Look, dude, if you really want to clean up your entire body and look nice and smooth and sexy, you got to get Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code what? Whiskey at manscaped.com. They're making men's bodies sexy again, finally. So go over to manscaped.com, use that promo code whiskey, and you're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Send it to your house for free. Manscaped.com, promo code whiskey, 20% off. Get your life together and clean up your body.
Ginger. I like gingers.
But that's the thing, is that identity politics says you have to give a shit about my identity. So that, I think that's the issue, is like, because that's a Gen Xer way of thinking.
Right.
Of like, we don't give a fuck what you're doing. Just, yes, okay, come on. But I think now it's, you must acknowledge that I'm non-binary. I identify as
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
But that's what we're thinking. I'm trying to understand what the young people are thinking.
And I believe it's this. The root cause is because for the first time in history, the good thing about social media is that you can be recognized, and you can feel the positive things would be you can feel recognition and respect or love or adoration or even just good vibes. Someone's like, cool shirt. I love your shirt, Christina.
Yeah.
So there's something positive. And then the negative is everyone wants and needs and cherishes validation. I mean, everybody.
Everybody.
So we all do. And now it's so inclusive. It used to just be actors. They're so self-indulgent, you know, like Hollywood entertainment people. But it's like, my aunt is on Instagram and she wants likes too. So she's the same man. So it's transitioned now to the youth going, I need recognition and I want you to know I exist. Because if you were super comfortable with yourself and didn't really give a shit if other people knew, you would just require equality, right? That's it. So if I was born a man, but now I'm a woman and I want to be called a certain thing, my pronouns are different. Okay. That can exist. It just exists in my personal vacuum. But the moment that I start going online and going, you have to know this about me, it's because we all really need validation. If we were treated equally, you wouldn't need it. Now, granted, I'm not saying there is equality across the board for anybody. I don't think that everyone's treated equally.
No.
But I do think that the moment we start seeking this ultimate validation from society, it gets in this weird, sketchy place of like, well, you didn't call them by this thing that they liked. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, no, you're not sorry.
Right.
No, you're not sorry. You fucked up. And it's like, no, I didn't do that out of malice.
You're transphobic.
I didn't know.
No, you hate trans people.
right.
Because you did not acknowledge that.
So then they label you a bad person. You're like, no.
And now you're immoral.
Then you're canceled.
You're in the trash.
Go away.
Right. Go away. Not even, hey, I know, did you know that this person, or let's have a dialogue. What's right. going on here?
Yeah, I'd love we to can see. Fix this.
Yeah.
This is essentially like, I bought a house and it has a few issues, but it, instead of being like, I should hire a plumber, they're like, fucking knock it to the ground.
Burn
this fucking house.
And I think there's so much currency in being victimized on social media.
Totally.
There's this great David Rubin calls it the oppression Olympics, where
the oppression Olympics.
I love
this
phrase
good.
Because it's so true. Like, we can one up each other on our victim. So funny. I was talking to someone and they go, whenever I hear somebody say the phrase as a, before they start talking, I feel my eye roll coming.
Right.
You know, as a Hungarian American,
right,
cisgendered white woman, Andrew, I don't see representation of myself. It's like, well, you may never.
Yeah.
You may not. You gotta find a way to move on.
Right. It might not happen.
You gotta move
also,
on.
Also, do we value those things as much as we pretend to?
We don't.
Yeah, that's my interest.
We don't.
Like, because maybe we should be getting back to more about...
Tampax doesn't.
No, they don't.
They don't give a rip.
No.
About trans men. They don't.
No, they don't care.
They
care about how many tampons can I sell.
Of course. Even in I was in Sephora and there was the poster. Sephora is a cosmetics company.
I
right?
know what it is.
Well, I don't know. I don't know people you're doing.
I shop there.
Okay.
I shop at Sephora. I went into a two-story Sephora in Toronto.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with my wife.
Two-story.
Yeah, two-story. And I liked it. I actually really liked it because she gave me a quick facial, mini facial.
I love it.
But you know what? We'll get back to your Sephora story.
No,
but you know what she said?
Went,
you know what the woman said?
Yes.
She goes, would you mind if I gave you a facial? And I said, oh, no, I'm not interested. She's shopping fast. Uh-uh. And then she goes, it'd be nice if you got one. I could give you one. You could use one.
Did she just skin shame you?
Yeah, she did. I got skin shamed at Sephora.
Let's cancel Sephora.
And do I baskin? Yeah, but I don't need you, Kelly, to tell me that in Toronto, two-story Sephora.
Do you think it's because you're a cisgendered white male with red hair?
That's what I think
it is.
Do
you think it's that?
As a cisgendered straight white male with red hair, can I tell you? I don't feel I'm represented on television enough.
I don't think you are.
Yeah, literally
I don't
not.
Think you
genuinely
are.
Not. I joked about it on this show. How many? I go, of all the scripts I've read being in Hollywood, never once does it say, and the hot redheaded guy walked in the sexy redheaded man just bust into the room and all the women swooned.
Yeah.
No, it's always the redheaded guy picks his pimples and they flick booger and they kick him in the face. My representation of a redhead in film was A Christmas Story, Farkas. Remember the bully that the kid ended up punching finally?
Yes, yes.
Farkas.
That's true. You guys are menaces.
Yeah, you're Dennis the Menace.
He was a blonde.
I think he was a redhead. Was it Dennis? Oh, yeah, maybe he was blonde.
I don't know.
Let's go strawberry blonde and we'll break it.
Sure.
Problem Child. Remember that movie?
That's right.
That
wow,
was
your representation's very negative.
We're either little brats or we're ugly nerds. We're little assholes or we're ugly nerds?
Okay, hold on. I have one counter. Some Kind of Wonderful. The lead sexy sexy guy.
I know, but where is he? Okay, where is he?
Well, he's older now.
Else did he do though?
I'm sure he did a lot of 80s.
Wasn't a movie
movies.
Star though. Do you know what I mean? Like, didn't get to the only movie stars that were redheads were women. Molly Ringwald.
That's true.
Lucille Ball.
That's
and
true.
Nowadays there's a million of them. Like,
it's that bitch that plays she did the Card movie.
Yeah, man. You know, there's these
Jessica
girls.
Jessica Chastain. Big tits.
Yeah, I know.
I think they're big naturals because they look.
You think those are natty natties? You really do?
Yeah, she's very thin, but her honkers are
they are heavy.
I'm like, wow.
Do you have now? Do you look down on girls who have small breasts because you're a biggin? Do you ever see girls with small breasts and you go, look at that? That
I call them Tom and I call them hungry tits. Yeah, you know, those tits look hungry. They need to eat some more.
Do you see that? You see girls with small boobs and you go, bitch.
No, I'm jealous.
Really?
I wish I had littles. I mean, I've had tits since I was fifth grade, you know, so I would just
But it
love
was cool
to...
then, right?
No, I had to hide them and then, no, because here's the thing. If you had big tits back in like sixth grade, you're called a slut.
Yeah, they ought to, I know.
Right? And it's like, even if you weren't active sexually, people assume you're a whore.
Why? What is that?
Big tits.
Because they just assume that you got to give those tits to somebody. You can't be walking around with
Someone's
those tits.
Milk.
Someone's sucking those tits. Yeah, we had a girl that was called a slut, and you know what was so
Same.
Fucked up? She wasn't. And
no.
And years later, she admitted how much it fucked her up. And I was like, that's so weird. Because I had a massive crush on her.
Of course, she had those big old titties.
Well, I was so sweet to her, but people would call her a slut, and I thought that, and I was weird. When people would say that, I'd be like, wait, no, who's she dating?
Hold on. My Sephora story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get sidetracked.
And we got to get back to your tits.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. So I'm in Sephora, and it's a poster, and it's, so now they have this thing of like, non-traditional models are supposed to be attractive.
Okay.
And like, okay, I guess.
Sure.
So there's a model, and she's not traditionally attractive.
She looks like normal people?
Not even that.
She's super ugly?
Super heavy. And
oh, she's thick. Oh, I thought you meant she's not good looking at all.
She's not really.
Oh, the face isn't good either.
Not really. I mean, look, I'm raised on like when models are just better looking than you.
Yeah, they're like better than us.
So much better than us. Yeah.
They've always been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's their gift in life. Like, don't take that from somebody.
Yeah.
If you're born and you're 5'11 and you weigh 90 pounds as a woman and you're gorgeous, like, that's your gift, dude.
You're better than us and you deserve to be praised.
Yes. I just like athleticism, if you're athletic.
We want to watch you be good at it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you're the best.
So they have a non-traditional model, and then it's like XEZGZimzer, respect all the pronouns.
Oh, right, the pronouns,
and then all the identities and the things, and I'm just like... So the thing is, if I don't like that model and I say, like, I don't find this attractive, I'm now
transphobic.
I might be racist.
Fat phobic or whatever it's called now. Yeah, right. You're all of it.
Just because I'm like, I don't know, aesthetically, it's not for me.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
I'm not attracted to that image. And then I get
this always puzzles me of like, like the idea that because you are a minority group of any kind, right? Like if you're not just trans, but like let's say you're just like gay. Like, and I've said this to plenty of my gay friends. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you can't be an asshole. Like, I can be like, you're a fucking asshole. And you can't, and someone can't go, oh, were you homophobic?
Right.
No, those guys, some people can still be assholes.
Right.
Just because he fucks assholes doesn't mean he can't be an asshole.
That needs to be a shirt.
Just because you fuck assholes doesn't mean he can't be. Like, you can also be a mean person, you can't use your minority status to transform me into the bad guy if you're a bad person. You can't go like, oh, you don't like that guy because he's gay. It's like, that has nothing to do with it. He could just be a fucking jerk.
Right. And I also think there's something more equalizing about not having to define everything down pathologically and just being like, why don't we just, is that a person? Like,
yeah.
Your friend, like, is that really important? Is it so important that he's gay?
And, right.
Because then you don't, that's right, you take away the ability from just to be an asshole and just be a person.
Because then it becomes like, oh, you don't like him because he's gay? It's like, I didn't like him because he said that fucked up mean thing to me.
Yeah, but you're not even allowed to be like, yeah.
Right. Like, really, I used to have a joke about that. Why do we preface sexuality today? Like, a guy said this at a party. He said, Blake's coming over. And the guy said, I don't know him. And he goes, he's gay. And I was like, why does that even fucking matter? It's such a weird thing to like throw it in.
But it does today. It's identity politics.
Politics, yeah.
Like, you have to be like, I identify. You know what Tom and I always talk about is like when people insist on coming out as like, I'm bisexual or I'm into S&M, and to like come out to their parents.
About it.
Like in Thanksgiving, like you have to come out to your 70-year-old mom that you
just let her have the lie for a couple more years.
Yeah.
She's gonna get out of here soon. It's like you don't really like her. She doesn't like you anyway. Yeah. This isn't gonna be the thing that bonds you.
Like,
yeah,
do you,
I think that's
really
interesting.
Think she's gonna get it? Like,
yeah.
I'm into S&M and I love dressing up as a dog or whatever. Like,
right.
You have to unburden her with that shit,
right?
You know?
Because it's this weird, like, I need to have you know the real me, but also it's like she's so old and ignorant, it's never gonna click.
Well, it's not just you; it's that what makes your dick hard.
Yeah.
She needs to
know what makes your dick hard. Yeah,
it's like, does she really need to know what you bust nuts to?
Imagine if the mom is like, well, I'm just happy to know what makes your dick hard. Like, I'm just, pass the peas, Chad. Proud to know what makes your pee-pee hard, son.
Right, what parent is like, oh, I'm so glad you told me.
Yeah, like, coming out as gay, I get it. Like, Dad, I'm gay. But when you get into, like...
What's your life?
When you get into, like, hey, I'm into dressing up like a horse and getting beat and spit on and pissed on by my buds. It's like, oh...
By my buds?
Marcus... Marcus, we know you're gay. He's like, no, you don't get it. It's not just that I'm gay. I like to be choked out by a gang of guys who are wearing leather stuff. And I want to lose my breath for 10 to 15 seconds at a time.
Yeah, when I masturbate, I do breath play.
But that's a big deal to come out to your parents now about your sexual proclivity or your sexual specifics. Like,
seriously, and I feel as that's like nobody's business, truly. Yeah, truly.
Aren't most of us kind of private about that shit anyway? Aren't you a little ashamed of some of your stuff?
All of it. Yeah, all of it. Like, me too. But I think, too, we grew up with more of a shame culture. And I think that...
That's true.
There's no shame now. But I think shame in small doses is A-okay.
Yeah, we need a little bit of shame.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, like Sebastian's whole thing about being embarrassed.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Nobody gets embarrassed anymore is a real thing, though. No one has embarrassment. You're allowed to like be out front of the street being like, oh, what's up? Hey, it's me. Like, that's totally normal. There's no embarrassment whatsoever.
That is so crazy. It's still crazy to me that this... is like that. That's
it's normal.
Norm.
Totally normalized. It's totally. Not only is it okay, it's promoted.
Yeah.
Selfie is a cool thing to do.
It's so crazy. When we're growing up, that's the antithetical.
Antithesis.
Antithesis of cool.
Yeah.
It's like a totally.
You're alone? You fucking loser. It's a picture of just you. You fucking loser.
Like, you're. So maybe that's good now that people are like, hey, what's up, bitch. You know, I don't know.
It's becoming a, but that's what I talked about before. It's like, it's the self-indulgent thing is very strange because it's validation toes this very thin line of like supreme insecurity and mental breakdowns. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And also feeling like you belong. That's the hard thing is like some people use it to like go, oh, I belong to a group and it feels good. It does. I imagine. That's a fun thing to have in a youthful group of like, we're in this.
A youthful.
Well, I don't do it. I don't have it. I don't know. But I imagine the Instagram clicks that people have when they're in high school are a thing, right? And ours were like bowl cuts and who skated.
Yeah.
And who was like, those are the druggies. And those are, so I don't know what that feels like, but I do know that it looks sad.
It looks so fucking sad.
Yeah, it looks sad. Like, it bums me out.
It does feel sad. I agree though that validation's so important. Like, look, we're comedians.
Yeah.
Is there any needier group of humans on the planet?
Like, yeah. But obviously. We've never denied it. That's the truth. Comedians are always like, oh, we're self-indulged, selfish, sad, usually like broken, weird people.
Depressed.
Yeah.
Anxious.
Who need you guys to be like, this guy's fun. She's hilarious. Like,
I just love her. Yeah.
But our whole job is that. We're trying to make a living doing that. When other people do it as their side gig, I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Get out of this. This is sad.
Maybe that's what it is. Because when I see it in other people that aren't in show business, I go like, why are you don't have to do that. Like, you probably have good parents or like.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't you have a family? Like, my favorite is, gosh, who had this joke? Was it Esther Pavitsky in her special? She's like. Oh, you don't need to post a picture of yourself for me to know you're mentally ill. The paragraph you wrote under.
That's so true.
And it's so true because whenever I see celebrities and then they download their really dark feelings. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is the right place for that. Like my heart goes like, oh, gosh, I see you're hurting. I'm not sure this is the right.
And it's almost like,
format.
What did you watch the Paris Hilton documentary?
I want to. No.
I watched it.
Hard to sympathize for
It's just it's difficult because you're like it's hard for me to
can I actually use this glass
100%
okay
they've never been cleaned never been cleaner. No, they're great, of course you can. They're washed and desensitized. Mm-hmm. No, they're all, everything's been sanitized after post-COVID for
me. Jed, HIV
since I had the
can I talk about that with you after? Tell me about Paris because we just got on the topic.
No, it's just Paris. It's hard for you to feel bad for someone whose goal was to make 100 million. Like she says that in a documentary. She's like, once you make 50, it's like you want to make 100.
I love your girl voice. Will you always do that?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something just sidebar before you go into this? Uh-huh. I love watching you act. I loved you the Showtime show.
Oh, yeah. I'm dying up here. Yeah.
You're so talented. And
Thank you.
So brilliant. And you're just... Anyway, I love your Paris. Do your Paris Hilton.
Thanks. Well, that's my Paris's.
Please take that on stage.
I want to make 50 million.
Oh my God.
And then it was like 100. But she had talked about like they try to humanize her so much to be like, this is a character. And it is. You can tell she obviously hyperbolized who she really was. But there is a point when, like, what is the character and who is the person anymore, right? When you've lived it so long, she says she isn't. She's more of a tomboy. She's got a deeper voice in real life. And we've seen that. I've seen that side of her, too. But this is an interesting thing, and I'm not trying to make a weird parallel and makes people feel bad, but, like, a lot of us live characters.
Right.
Well, when is it you and when is it not you? Do you know what I mean?
Are you,
like,
asking me that?
No. Oh. No, I'm saying we have friends in our business that live characters. And you're like, you know, like Bert. Bert is a hyperbolization of who Bert really is. But also, like, Bert has kind of, he is that guy.
He's that guy.
But also, deep down, Bert's a real person. You know what I mean? Who kisses his kids goodnight. That's just like, that's the thing that's interesting to me about Paris was like, yeah, I know this isn't always who you are, but once you do it so much, isn't it kind of who you are?
It's rooted in who you are, right?
Right.
Like comedy persona,
right?
I would argue, is you times 10.
Totally.
So there's a root in there that's like, these are my fucked up thoughts, and you just get better and better at going, oh yeah, that's a really good fucked up thought. I should share that.
But instead also it begins to be who you are too, right? Doesn't also, that's the fear is like, what is the, like, I know Theo well, and I've known Theo for long enough, like you've known him for years, and it's like, Theo has this very eclectic, eccentric character, and he is also very eclectic as a human being, but I think also he toes this line of, like, he's become performance just as much as become who he really is.
You know what? I don't really know him that well.
I mean, I know, I mean, I guess I know him, you've just known him timeline longer. But I knew him, I've known him well as a good friend, you know, in the past decade of our lives. It's just, a lot of guys do that. A lot of people do that in entertainment, is my point.
Right.
Is like,
you become
kind of, you know, it's like David Duchovny didn't do that show because he wasn't a sex addict.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, that's when, in casting, I always find that, I mean, unless you're one of those rare actors.
There's like three of them.
Who can truly be the chameleon, truly transform. Yeah. They're hiring you.
Yeah, they're you.
Because you can kind of, you get in there and you're like, I can make that work.
Yeah.
Like you played a dick comedian.
I'm a dick comedian.
You're not a dick. You're one of the sweetest, loveliest
people.
No,
but I have the,
but
I,
that
I
side
get it.
Of you, you access and you were able to be like, motherfucker, you know. Right.
It's real. It's almost.
It's your attitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's, I've always said that. I think most actors aren't that good at acting. I think I think 95% of actors are not that good at acting. They're good at accessing feelings and emotions and showing you them in a world that's created, which someone goes, that is acting. No. Real acting to me would be like Daniel Day-Lewis or the people that can literally change shape.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, that's a fucking actor. That's insane.
That's really, really rare.
But accessing emotion and displaying it on a show or a film, I just don't think it's that special. I think it's more special when someone can fucking like mind fuck a character and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that was them.
Christian Bale. I would say Christian Bale's
100%.
One of those rare, like, oh, wow.
It's a chameleon.
Truly is that caliber.
Totally.
Otherwise, it's just, it's your lens, it's your personality. And
it's like,
you
it's
said
like,
emoting.
Like Tom Cruise is not a good actor.
But he's great at what he does.
What I'm saying. But he's phenomenal at being Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But that's why when someone goes, you can't separate me from the actor, it's like when it comes to television and film, it's hard for America because that's who you are to them.
Yeah. Well, Jack Nicholson, right? They hire Jack Nicholson to do that. Well, whatever fucking that thing, that's him, right? You know the casting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know why. And it makes perfect sense why.
Yeah.
Like how many De Niro movies has he done where he's not a tough guy?
Right. Yeah. He's another guy that's like, well, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
No, that's a De Niro.
Well.
That's a good De Niro. I just think that I think that it's weird in our world of like, so that's the Paris thing is like,
so, yeah.
How do you, I guess I highly recommend people watching it, but to keep in mind that it's like, not everything you see is who they really are. However, it's a job of the performer to check themselves, to stay. That's when people don't get humble. That's when Charlie Sheen becomes Tiger Blood because he believes in the fucking chaos.
Right.
That's not probably who he really is at all, but it was like drugs and money and power and fame.
Mental illness too.
And yeah, he's lost.
Yeah.
But all that breaking comes from buying into your bullshit.
Well, and having people around you who reinforce your bullshit.
Totally.
And not having people in your camp go like, that's not a good idea.
Or how about that? How about you're acting insane? Nobody goes, dude, you're acting so dumb.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, dude, fucking, if that's what he wants to do, he wants to do it. So we're going to let him because I get paid 80 grand a year to be near him. You know, like that's what Paris, yeah, I think, embodied was like, how do I show you who I really am when all you want is this thing anyway? So it's like, well, dude, that's a sacrifice.
Well, that's a sacrifice and the intent. Now, let's not forget when she became very, very famous, the whole thing was, I'm hotter than you.
Yeah.
I'm skinnier. I'm an heiress. And that's I don't give a shit. Like, remember that horrible show she did with...
That's on there. Yeah, the farm or the
DJ
Simple Life. The Simple Life.
Yeah, with Nicole. Who I think Nicole Richie seems very funny. Actually.
Yeah, she seems dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two of them, the whole premise was we're cunts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be cunts to working normal people.
We're going to pretend to be stupid Hollywood idiots to hardworking Americans.
Yeah.
So, and it worked.
Yeah. And we were like, we love it. But to now try and I think what she's doing, which is another brilliant move, is to go, oh, that doesn't work in today's climate.
Right.
Being a victim works. So let's talk about, oh, I'm actually really humble and I had this bad thing happen. And see how sympathetic you are now?
Right.
It's like, well, that's just another manipulation.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
To try to gain more love and attention and adoration. Yes. And that's really what it is. So if you don't have someone in your life to check you down in entertainment, I think that's when people get truly lost.
Yeah.
It's like when you meet rich people in our business or you go to their house and you're like, oh my God, you bought all this dumb stuff. You know, you go to someone's house and you're like, this is such a bunch of sad shit that you'd never need. And you bought all this sad shit because they gave you all the money and then you were lost. And then you just were like, I don't really have anything. And this is kind of, you know, I'm just like living this phony life. So it's nice to have somebody, like I'm sure you and Tom do it to each other. Like my old bag will genuinely check me.
Well,
when I get into something that's like, I really want this or I'm into this thing. And she'll go, that's so annoying. Why? Like, that's not who you are. Like, and it'll make me go, oh yeah, I'm not that guy. What am I mean? I'm not that guy. I don't want that stuff. I don't like that shit. I don't want to try to be this thing or do this stuff. So I'm learning how to do that a lot because it's like, you don't want to get, it's scary as you get more along in a business when it's easy to have fun and love it and enjoy it. But then also you're like, I don't want to lose me at all.
Yeah, I think, I know what you're talking about because I think when Tom and I first had some success and like, it's fun in the beginning because you're like, I can just buy that. Like, I'm going to buy this crazy hat or I'm going to buy these shoes. And then, gosh, Marianne Williamson said it. She's like the spiritual guru, whatever.
I don't know her.
She's pretty great. She said, the problem is not when you can't buy one of them. The problem comes when you can buy all of them.
Wow.
The problem spiritually becomes when you can buy all
totally.
Of them.
Totally. That's a brilliant thing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, because it gets to a point where you're like, well, how many shoes can you have? And how many handbags mean anything anymore? And like, I mean, I was starting to shop compulsively when the pandy happened.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when you do that and like there's a delay on some of the deliveries and then you have like a memory fog and you're like, oh God, this is getting bad. Like this isn't even bringing me joy anymore. Like what the fuck?
It's just an activity to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't relieve the anxiety. It creates.
But that being said,
stuff is fun.
So stuff is fun.
Yeah. But I don't want to poo-poo stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the most obnoxious things ever is when you have celebrities like Jim Carrey, come on. Have you seen this horseshit?
The minimalist thing and all that. Yeah.
I mean, he's so funny and he's so talented.
Yeah, I love the guy.
He's a genius and I grew up with him. But nothing makes me want to vomit more when a multimillionaire is like, you know what? You don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Tell that to everybody who can't pay their bills right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't say that.
I have a big gripe about that stuff, about this whole like... Jim was my boss and I'm dying up here and we had dinner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
No. I don't know, but it's true. I don't like that either. I think that's a silly way to think. He'll never see this. And
well, cause money's great and money's valuable.
Yeah, but it's also, it's very diminutive to say like, you don't need these things. And it's you don't know how people fucking live, dude. Like, what do you mean? Like you, not to say that you don't know what it's like to not have money. Cause he does. He grew up very poor, but it's like your experience now doesn't match what other people are living through. There's a guy and a girl out there, a husband and wife, who have fucking two jobs apiece, and they can't even afford fucking nanny care for their kids. So the oldest kid has to raise the younger kids, and this is their life.
Yeah.
And to tell them they don't need stuff, you're just like, dude, you're an idiot. You can't say that people do need things because it helps them live their version of life.
And plus, you have the arrogance of having gone through it all. Like, they always say that in hindsight. Like,
totally.
Well, I've had millions of dollars and I've lived in mansions and it sucks. Like, oh, really? Really?
It always sucked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I don't buy into that. I don't. That minimalist thing is like, I think you can have, I think we should all have less bullshit stuff, but also you can't. That's why I said politics in this day and age isn't really reaching a lot of people. I feel like the fear is because politicians and famous people alike oftentimes speak to you like they know better than you and you should listen to them and you're dumb if you don't. That's the rhetoric that always gets pushed around, like Hollywood sounds like. And it's true because when they say something about how someone lives, they take into account almost none of their personal experience. So it's like, you know, don't you care about this? And it's like, what? I got to get my kid fucking braces. What the fuck are you talking about? Like,
I know.
Don't you want to fix your life? It's like the minivan has 9 dents in it. Because the kids play baseball on it. Now I can't take it to work.
I know. The audacity. And like,
yeah, it sucks.
I think my favorite is the best part about Instagram is that now I get to know how completely mentally unstable celebrities are.
Totally.
That you've been watching for years. You're like, oh. Like, today on my vegan cooking show, we're going to make buffalo non-chicken, whatever.
Buffalo chicken wings. Yeah. We legally can't call it chicken. It's chicken.
Right. You're like, really? You need, like, the hole is so big inside of your heart that you need to. You're an actor. Like, you're gorgeous or you're, I don't know. But then again, here we are sitting jacking our D's on.
Yeah, but this is fun for us.
Yeah. Who am I to judge?
No,
I
you guess, see, but... you see what lack of attention does. We all need it, especially in our business. So like, it's hard for anybody to get away from it. You know, when someone's like, I just live off the grid. You're like, that actor's gone. Those people don't live anymore.
That's so, you know who I really like?
Huh?
What's his name? Jeremy.
Renner?
Yeah.
Is it Renner?
I think so. He's the one that like builds houses and shit.
Oh, he does? I don't know working. That.
Well, I heard him on Stern.
That's hot.
It is hot.
That is very hot.
I think he's one of the last few people that's like, besides you, who's like a human being. And then
it's me. That's
they
it.
They act for a job.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Renner, he's like, yeah, my daughter, so I make sure I don't take jobs that are more than, you know, X miles from her. And he's like, I build houses. I live in the house as I build it.
That's
and then
cool.
I flip it. I'm like, oh, you're just a person.
Nick Offerman does that. You know Nick Offerman from...
Sounds familiar.
Nick Offerman from... he's Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Oh, I don't watch that show.
No, I know, but you know the character, the mustachioed guy.
I think so. Oh, yeah.
It's Megan Mullally's husband.
Yeah.
She's funny. Also unbelievably talented, too. He's a wood builder, like actually builds, and has his, before he got that show, was like a wood shop maker, like would build incredible things out of wood, and that's like his focus in life.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's why, I wish I had that. I'm too boring to have like a thing to go, comedy is my outside of acting. It's like, what do you do outside of acting? It's like stand up and podcasts.
Like
fun stuff.
I read books, but that's not a skill. You know what I mean? I wish
do you
I
read
had
a lot?
Skill. I do. I'm starting to, because my second kid is 2. I'm starting to read philosophy again, and that's my passion, my love.
Really?
I'm not smart enough to teach it like I thought I could be. Mm. Like, what if I got a PhD and I became an academic? Like, those motherfuckers are so
smart.
But I don't know. I struggle with these books, and I'm like, this is cool. I love ideas. I love knowing what's going on, especially now.
How many books a week?
No, not a week, because I have kids. It's harder.
A month.
Reading 2 right now. I'm reading Camille Paglia, and Zizek. That
Zizek. DiGiorno
pizza. Zizek.
Yeah, it's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. You're reading 2 books at once?
Yeah.
Can't do it.
But it's gonna take me months to. Oh, and I listen to podcasts, and you know.
I listen to books on tape.
What do you on tape? What do you, did you have to find a
I listen
kid,
to books on
deck?
Tape. I'll listen to books on tape. When I'm running, that's what I'll listen to. Right now, I'm on Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein.
I hated that book.
You didn't?
I
you
did.
Didn't like it? You didn't like any of his books?
I didn't
the
like
Giving
them.
Tree.
I didn't like
A Light
it.
In the Attic.
I liked A Light in the Attic.
Okay, that one was good.
Yeah.
But you hated Sidewalk Ends.
Yeah.
The Giving Tree, Little Boy with the Apple that everyone
that was
thinks.
Cool as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. But you couldn't stand Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Didn't like it. It
was and that's where you fell off, Shel.
Wait, can we talk about your AIDS?
Yeah.
Tell me how bad it was.
It was, and Christina's referring to my COVID, but in people of our age range, we call it AIDS. It wasn't that bad, and I say that not trying to diminish it, but like...
No, diminish it. I want
okay, it wasn't that bad because compared to what other people... That's the stance I keep taking when someone's like, how was it? I was like, it fucking sucks.
But tell me.
It was shitty, but yeah. Also, I didn't go to the hospital. So like whenever... I just don't like it when someone's like, dude, it was terrible. Like I had friends that was like, dude, it was so bad. I'm like, what happened? Like, what did you get? And then they'll tell you the symptoms. I'm like, bitch, people have tubes in their throats. Like you did, that's not, you had a fever and you felt like, so it does suck for people that get it. I'm not saying doesn't matter, but it sucks. It drags the fuck on. You're tired. Dude, you're so exhausted that you almost can't believe it. It gives you weird anxiety that you're so tired. You're like, I slept all night long. In and out of sleep. And then I got enough sleep. Then during the day, I would sleep like 3 more times during the day.
Jesus.
But not because of like the flu. For me, again, I should also say this is personal. Everyone has a different experience. I didn't have a fever. I never had sweats. I never had any of that stuff. Couldn't really think. Like my head was always clogged and tired. And my exhaustion just came from the day. It had nothing to do with like, I had friends that stuck on a couch for 4 days and he couldn't get up. He was like, dude, I couldn't even walk upstairs without like feeling like I was going to pass out. I was the opposite. I was just kind of going about my day at home, trying to do stuff. And then in the middle of the day, I'd be like, fuck. And I would just pass out on the couch. It was weird. It was just like, it would knock you down.
Did you have congestion?
Totally. Yeah. Bad. So you had like no taste, no smell.
Ugh. Did you lose weight at least?
I didn't. Mm.
Well, because skinny.
I keep sucking down that fat, mama. I can't. No.
I heard you say that you forced yourself to eat with Dr.
I did.
Drew, I heard
you
that.
Just had to keep doing it. So I would just do like ramen or peanut butter and jelly or like soup, shit that you're just like, texture. I know this is macaroni and cheese, but it's not macaroni and cheese.
And how long did you have the anosmia? Or that's what that's called, right?
What, no taste, no smell? Mm-hmm. 4 days.
Oh, that's...
Dude, I am extremely lucky because I have a friend that I'm not going to mention and I'll tell you off air because you know who he is.
Sure.
3 months, he still can't taste or smell.
What?
I know.
That sucks.
And when he said it to me, I was like, no shit. He was like, don't tell anybody. I was like, I won't.
So how was your cough? I mean, you don't have any like cough.
I didn't have a chest. So it didn't make its way to my lungs. That's why I say when people get pneumonia, that's when it's like really sad and scary because you go to the hospital and young people get pneumonia from it too. They just, some of them don't end up in the hospital with pneumonia. But if you get pneumonia and you're over 70, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
That's tough.
So I didn't have that, but I had crazy body aches, like insane body aches, crazy headaches and congestion, tired, I couldn't really function mentally. Like you feel just fogged out and the draggingness of it. It just felt like it fucking never ended. It was like a week and a half.
Of feeling like that, like body aches.
Ongoing.
How long were you in pain?
The headache thing was constant. That shit sucks. And it never goes away. It never went away. I mean, it was like the whole time until finally, like when I got healthy, then it went away. But like the headaches never subsided. It was like, it felt like sugar headaches or caffeine headaches. You know what I mean? When you have either a lack of or too much, it felt like that. It was like all encompassing and it sucked, dude. And the biggest bummer was, you know, you want to just go live a normal life. And so right at the peak of my symptoms, I went to CVS without a mask and I touched and licked everything. Now I said, you know what I did though? I'm in a tackle football league in Culver City, Skins and Skins. Nobody wears shirts and I played right at the height of my symptoms.
You did. Good for you.
Yeah. The one thing is weird is you do want to tell people now that I've had, I want to tell everyone I already had it in social situations to make them feel more
so
comfortable.
Great. Well, I'm not envious of you, but
no,
I'm envious
don't get it.
In a way.
Don't get it. People like, do say that. Don't get it. For sure, don't get it.
I don't want to. Gosh.
But also, it's good to be done with it. I don't know if that means anything.
It's like you have the chicken pox and now you can go play.
But you can get it again.
I know. I've heard that.
3 to 6 months after your immune system your immunity goes away. But hopefully by the time they have the vax. And if not, you know, I don't know. We'll have to. I'm as safe as I could be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know. Like, can I tell you what really touched my heart?
Yeah.
When I heard you talking to Drew.
Yeah.
Gosh, I felt so bad for you. You said, I felt ashamed to tell people that I had it. Like,
totally.
I had done all, and I totally understand that. Because have you ever had an STD?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have one, but when I was 20, I went to this shitty Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. and they did a regular pap smear, and she's like, oh, your pap smear is abnormal. And I was like, well, what does that mean? She's like, probably just have genital warts or something. And I was like, oh, what?
Throw it away. It's probably just warts. Next!
That's literally how it went. And I felt so much shame.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, until I got the final results back, and it wasn't, thankfully, but...
What was it?
It was just an abnormal pap. Like, oh. I guess it happens, like jizz.
Boo.
I know, boring. But I remember feeling that way, because you're like, God, did I brought this on myself.
Yeah.
I brought this on myself, and I wasn't careful enough. But, I mean, you do know that, like, you can get it, even if you are cautious. It's not about
We were as cautious as we could be. Like, that was the whole thing that annoyed me, is, like, I had been as cautious as I could be. And when someone's like, maybe you weren't being safe, and you're like, there's people sucking body shots out of people's buttholes in Lake Havasu right now. I think I'm the fucking safe spectrum. Like, that's what annoys me, is people are living super irresponsible. And I'm not even criticizing their choices. I'm just saying, in comparison,
yeah.
Fuck you. Like, fuck you. I having a drink with a friend outside.
You're fine.
It just, no, I don't care anymore, but, like, you know, outside, and because Drew was puzzled about the whole thing about, like, oh, you get it outside, but, like, I mean, we're sitting and drinking and talking, you know what I mean, like, for hours now. So it sucked, it was terrible. And then, and even my doctor, because I was like, how do you think it was outside, do you think maybe if I gave him the ride home? And she was like, what, dude, we don't fucking know. You could have been in the 5 seconds before you sat down with him, like, yep. We have no idea. She goes, it's gonna happen. She's like, we've heard the craziest shit. We have people that are like, I haven't left my house and I wear a fucking mask when I go to CVS. And they're like, well, you got it. And then they hear people that are like, again, in Lake Havasu, you know, butt fucking on somebody else's boat, you know, sharing beers, and they're like, I'm negative. It's like, that's what happens.
That's just the bad luck of, or the good luck of the draw. I know someone who got it too, who wasn't leaving the house, did everything the way they were supposed to do, and still got it. So it's like,
it's going to happen if it's going to happen, unfortunately. I just think we'll try our best. But I did get an STD, and thank you for bringing it up, in college. I did, dude. I got one.
What
that was
your,
I got
it was bacterial.
No, molluscum. Molluscum. Oh, how bad does that sound, though?
It's on your peener, right?
It wasn't on my peen. It was on my pelvis. And so I went to the doctor, and I was panicking, because I was like, I did wear a condom. And I was like thinking in my head, I was like, how did this happen? Like, how the fuck? I wore a condom. You guys told us condoms are safe.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, after 3 days of panicking about it, I was like pacing in my dorm, like, what am I going to tell my dad? Like, I'm going to die, you know? And the doctor was like, oh my God, it's cream. It's a cream. Easy. We can just put a cream on it. And I put a cream on it and went away. And I was like, oh, that. Why did I feel bad about, like, what a fucking dumb thing to panic about. Like, and I freaked out.
Thank God it was just something.
Yeah, molluscum. Small. Molluscum. And then anal warts. But anyway, that's the show. No, the molluscum was the only one, and it scared me to death, honestly, because I didn't feel it in my pec. But I looked down and saw bumps all over.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, this is it. I'm scarred for
herpes,
life.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was herpes. I thought it was, you know, like some kind of like maybe warts, or like something like that's permanent. I thought it was like, like these things will be there now forever.
Yeah.
And they're not, but the anal warts are. But I'm happy to be through it. And you're never going to get it, because you're good, and you guys are going to be safe, and you and Tom are, you're going to last through the pandemic, and you're going to get vaxxed, and you're going to be fine.
I hope so. But your wife didn't get it from you, right? Or did she get it?
The warts?
Oh, no, the HIV.
Cut that part.
The pandy.
No, she, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She got the pandy?
She got it from me.
How
had
did
to.
She do?
She was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, she was like me. It was like, it was really, it sucks. You feel like shit.
Yeah.
You can't explain it. You have weird aches and pains. Like, you just feel fucked up. But the no fever and no fluid in the lung thing, to me, was like,
praise Allah.
Yeah, because I didn't, that scared me the most. Like, my friend said it felt like having a belt around his chest.
Oh, that's terrible.
For 4 days. He was like, dude, it felt like someone was pulling on a belt, and you're like you couldn't breathe in.
God,
so,
dude, that's so
I know,
scary.
I know, but I'm through it, I think. I hope I'm on the other side, and now I don't know, I haven't been tested yet, so who knows?
Thanks.
Yeah. No, when you get the negative and the antibody positive, you do feel so happy. It literally made me feel, I wasn't sick anymore, But the day I got the negative and the antibody positive, I felt like I was healthier even more. That I was like, ugh, the relief of saying, because they call you. Because when you have antibodies, they have to call you legally to tell you at some point you have had it. Because they don't know if you've had it. You know, because she goes, you tested negative. And I go, yes, I know. I looked online on the portal. She goes, I know, but I have to tell you that you have the antibodies. So you have had it at some point. I go, oh, yeah, we just got over it. We know. And she was like, oh, okay. Because some people, my friend Malin, her husband had antibodies. And
never came down.
Never was sick.
See, this is my stupid theory, is that comedians are so
dirty people.
Dirty. Mm-hmm. Like, because we get, with the first year I toured as a feature, I got every cold in America.
I got pneumonia.
Oh my God.
I got pneumonia when I was on the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get it all.
You're a petri dish. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I hope we
You think you might be good?
I don't know. We got, Tom and I got a raging flu, like right when this first started.
March or February. Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, obviously there was no COVID test. So
did you should just go get antibody test.
Do you think it would have so long ago, even? February is when I was sick.
You might not have antibodies anymore, but you might, which could be good, because then you're...
Just blood?
Yeah, it's blood. Blood and cum and tears. They take your blood, they make you cum in a cup, and then you have to put a little tear out. Okay, I love you.
I love you.
I want you to continue to have a wonderful career. Whether or not I see you a lot anymore is sad, because you guys might not be around as much anymore, and that's just life.
Our whole community is dispersing.
Yeah, and it's you guys' fault.
It's my fault.
It's your fault.
What, personally?
Yeah.
Wow.
I asked Tom. Tom said you. I ask you. You think it's you. You also agree. Everyone's leaving, but it's for the good.
I'm serious though. I did a show, the drive-in theater show, Tammy Joe's.
I did it at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And.
Well, and everybody's moving about to move or move. It's going to be a strange... Well,
LA is a little scurry. It's a little scurry right now.
It's so fucked. So wait, did you get the Thanksgiving guidelines?
I did.
From Newsom?
Yeah.
And
honestly, I'll... My address is 1462 Bancroft Lane. We're having a party, okay? I'm breaking the rules. Everyone's coming over. Bring your own turkey. Bring your own utensils. Bring your grandmother. Bring your buds. We're raging in my backyard. Yeah, it's crazy to think that not like Halloween, too. I can't have kids at the house. And I loved giving out candy last year. Like, I really do like that. I'm a dork. I decorated our whole house. Like, I have lights and shit everywhere. I have a graveyard in the front. And it's meticulously put together. And... no kids coming, because I love seeing kids in costume and the parents. It's so fun to like, I don't know. That's such a sweet thing. I think it's such a nice communal thing that you're like, hey, look at everyone is human again. We get to like talk to each other and be like, oh my God. And you get to be very funny, you know, when kids come up the kid comes up and an obvious, like a, you know, like there was a kid in Black Panther and he came up and I go, Superman. And he goes, it's Black Panther. And I said, not to me. It's not. And I closed the door on him. Because I don't give those kids candy. No, but it's fun to fuck around and tell jokes and feel that vibe. And now, you know, now we're not going to be able to. But it is what it is. I don't know. We'll get over 2020. 2021 will be worse, and then we'll be fine.
Hopefully next Halloween. Gosh, who knows?
Life will be back to normal at some point. I want you to do this. I like these shoes so much, by the way. Thanks, bro. I know I saw them halfway through. Who makes those?
It's a brand called P448.
P448.
It's Italian.
I know, but can they name it? Just name it a shoe name.
I know. It's Italian. That's
P448. He's like, no. Come on, Giuseppe. Give it a name. The shoe company. He goes, P448. That's just the call sign number for the shipping
log.
That's
what they call it. P448.
P448. Well, go get some P448s. We end the episode the same way. You're going to look in that camera and you're going to say one word or one phrase, and that's how we end the episode. So it's on you. One word. Right. When I get off camera, one word or one phrase.
Go about ahead. You or just in general?
You look right at the camera about anything to end the episode.
Go okay. Ahead. All right. Jeans.
In here, we pour whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.